got 400 yards of offense. So I don't know why the hell I got to come in here and answer questions about the things you think are going wrong.
A frustrated Mike McCarthy leading you into another edition of the APC podcast. I'm Alex Patakis along with Zach Rapport. No Ben Foldy today. I was out last week. He's out this week. We're avoiding each other. We actually hate each other. Our egos can't fit in the same room, which is why
I can confirm he's wearing a shirt, though, right now because he's at work.
Yes, of course. We got a lot to get to on the show today. We're going to talk about the weird disconnect that exists between the Packers having the league's best offensive line and a two-time MVP, a quarterback who has the worst completion percentage. We'll also talk about just how good the Packers' defense may or may not be. Some of these things may surprise you. And
spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert indeed. There are some metrics out there that would suggest that they might not be quite the unit that you think they are, although I have been very pleased with the defense so far this season.
Same.
Is Devontae Adams actually good? I don't know. We'll talk about that as well. We're going to do it all with Gabe Neitzel of ESPN Wisconsin, who's going to join us. He is the co-host of the Homer and Gabe Broadcasting Network, which is the afternoon drive show for the Milwaukee and Madison ESPN affiliates.
Quick shout out that Steve the Homer True was like my dinner time fodder when I was a child. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Still the same fucking theme music too,
which I can confirm. Although they don't play the national anthem anymore beforehand, which would have gotten really interesting in the NFL preseason around Colin Kaepernick time. Certainly, if you leave
Homer's definitely seated when they would play the national anthem when he was on the air.
I could also. Well, I can't quite confirm that because there was no national anthem in the time I got to spend around him. But yes, Gabe co-hosts that program. We're going to talk Packers with him as well, as the Packers are coming off of a nice little W over the New York Giants, and they're getting set for Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll have predictions for you later on, although I don't know how much my prediction means when I'm barely hovering around 500 on the season.
I'm leading the pack, NFL baby. Picks.
There you go. I'm just picking the Vikings every week, and I'm right every week. That's my only thing that I actually have going for
Traitor.
Me. Yeah, seriously. All right, let's talk to Gabe. He's one of my favorites, and I'm excited to spend some time hanging out with him today.
Let's do it.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber.
He is one of my favorite people to drink a beer with. He's one of my favorite people to talk Packers with. He's one of my favorite people to barbecue with because he makes amazing steaks. And if you ever get the opportunity to have some grilled corn from Gabe Neitzel, it will be the best grilled corn that you have ever had. He is ESPN Wisconsin's own. He's the afternoon drive host along with Steve the Homer True. It's Gabe Neitzel joining us now at GNeitzel16. And he's kind enough to give the Acme Packing Company a couple of minutes this evening. Gabe, I know this surprises you, but I couldn't pick an intro song, so we just gave you three.
Well, it's much appreciated. It really reflects my eclectic taste in music from over the years. So it's much appreciated that you had put in the effort, although, no, I'm not shocked that you somehow could not make any decision.
Which of the three would you have chosen? Because I have one that I'm guessing that I think you would have chosen to be your intro song, because we usually play people in with the song of their choice, but I decided to give you three that I know that you would enjoy. Which would you have chosen?
So, I mean, usually, I mean, I would have thought, I mean, in most instances, I've been going with, in one of the shows here in Milwaukee, whenever I crash the show, Semi-Charmed Life plays. So, like, people might naturally think I would go with that. But given that when we hosted together here in Milwaukee, the song was the first song of that intro, that's what I would have gone with. I would have gone with the Kesha and Pitbull song that was a part of that to be on this program.
Really quickly, you guys kind of glossed over some inside baseball here, but Alex Patakis, famously indecisive. I literally had to order his beer for him on the way down here to speed things along.
I'm not shocked. Like he can't make a decision about anything. Like I'm surprised that he can like make a decision like, yes, I'm going to wake up and go to work today. Like, it's that bad, it's indecisiveness.
It is pretty bad, I will admit that. And granted, we were at a bar that almost exclusively had IPAs, and there was like 70 of them.
Yeah.
So how the hell am I actually supposed to choose? But yes, I figured that would have been your song choice. And to note, we didn't have the full version in there, but had we, I definitely would have let it play out to the point of the song that you always let it play out to before you introduced the show we used to host, Twerking in the Bras and Thongs.
Timber.
There you go. Wow. All right, we're going to talk Packers. Like I said, there's a ton to get to right now. But first, I want to play. Mike McCarthy was a little testy today. Gabe, you and I both love some Coach Mac. Zach, too, obviously.
Sassy Mackie.
Sassy Mackie today, just firing back at Tom Oates. Can we play that exchange? We have the exchange. We're going to play this, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Against the Giants, there were a number of plays where Aaron had 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds to pass. Your line was doing a great job, but he couldn't find anybody on some of those plays. What was going on there?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty general statement. I mean, you know, we got 400 yards of offense, so I don't know why the hell I got to come in here and answer questions about the things you think that went wrong. So,
I'm just saying it's not really very – it's not normal that he stands back there and doesn't
mind. Was the coverage? I mean, did we not win the separation? I mean, I thought they actually – the Giants, I thought their linebacker underneath coverage did a better job than, frankly, I expected going into the game. As far as the depth, I mean, it's an athletic bunch. So, I mean, whether a guy didn't win a route or, you know, I can't really get into specifics without getting into an exact play. So, I mean, there's not really a general answer to the question.
Breaking news, you guys. Mike McCarthy does not like talking to the media very much.
Tom Oates, of course, the Wisconsin State Journal, but a sassy Mike McCarthy reacting to a totally fair question from Tom Oates. Gabe, what's your reaction to that?
Then he goes on and answers it, and later in the press conference he talks about how the passing game, they're working on a couple of different things and really addressing that in meetings. It makes me a little worried because it's like one of those things that when you get accused of doing something, right, you're like, you know something's wrong. And somebody brings it up. No, nothing's wrong. What are you talking about? I don't know. And you get a little over-defensive. Anytime McCarthy starts dropping the word hell or damn in any sort of instant during press conferences, you know he's a little testy. So he just senses that questions about the passing game are coming, so he gets a little overprotective of it, even though he knows something's wrong, but he wants to pretend like nothing is wrong. And that, for me as a fan, that makes me more nervous because I have a lot more faith than I think a lot of people do in McCarthy and in Rodgers. I just have this blind faith for them. But anytime they start to, you know, shake a little bit and they're not as sturdy as I want them or I need them to be, now I'm starting to get worried because he's getting over defensive and it seems that he knows something is wrong and he can't quite figure out how to fix it.
So I guess your reaction to Aaron Rodgers getting testy at his locker a couple of weeks ago with your colleague and my former work friend, Jason Wilde, was probably similar because that's also really uncharacteristic. So I feel like it's fair to say that as much as these guys say that they don't listen to, you know, they don't pay attention to the outside pressures, like these things that people are questioning are they've got to be real, and they've got to exist within the Packers locker room. I don't know the answers, and I don't know what they believe is the problem, but it kind of feels like they also believe that there is a problem, right?
No, it's not even if they believe it. I think they recognize it. They know that there is some sort of issue. When Pro Football Focus is telling us that Aaron Rodgers has the most time to throw of any quarterback in the league, and granted that's partially you know, a lot because the offensive line's played well, but a big chunk of it as well is his ability to scramble and extend plays. But his completion percentage is the worst in the NFL among qualified passers right now. Like, those two things don't match up. And there's a number of explanations that you could try to come up with to explain his completion percentage being that low. But my explanation right now is he's just missing throws that we've never seen him miss before. Davante Adams jumps up for a pass and decides not to go for it because Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, and there's no way that pass could be to him because it wouldn't be off by that much. He's throwing interceptions. We're going, really? That's the ball he threw there? The guy could be open if he throws it here, and Aaron Rodgers is just so incredibly accurate. How can? And that's, I think, the biggest problem right now is with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if it's lingering effects last year with some of the things that got, and I know you guys have had Ben Fennell on your podcast. We've talked with Ben. We've talked with Andy Benoit of Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated on our show, who's talked about some of those things last year where the mechanics kind of got away from him. And I don't know if that's kind of a lingering effect from last year, and he's still working on cleaning some of those things up. But there's definitely an issue because Aaron Rodgers isn't playing like Aaron Rodgers. And there's not a chance, even if there wasn't guys on the outside like you know, me and you guys, talking about it to the extent that we have over the past 2, 3, 4 weeks, like, he still knows he's not playing well.
Right.
I mean, he recognizes that he's just not playing well because he has a high standard for himself, and he's definitely not meeting those standards.
Some of those Pro Football Focus numbers that you mentioned, by the way, which I also feel like there is an explanation for this, but it's still baffling. On 19 throws against the New York Giants, that came within 2.5 seconds of the snap, right? So quickly release throws. Aaron Rodgers had a passer rating of 103.2. So you referenced the offensive line giving him plenty of time. 29 throws came after 2.5 seconds, where, you know, time in the pocket is at a premium. The, you know, Gruden and every analyst telling you, like, you only have so many seconds to throw the football. That's not the case with Aaron Rodgers. He has a ton of time. Over 2.5 seconds, 29 of his throws, a quarterback rating of 40.9. So I guess where I'm confused is the fact that Aaron Rodgers, like, I would always seem like a Debbie Downer when they have a great game offensively numbers-wise, and it almost all comes off of improvisations from Aaron Rodgers because he's that gifted. Now, it's almost like they're relying on the improvisation, but it's actually less effective. So they're not relying on it, because if he were to be making rhythm throws at the clip he was making them against the Giants, it seems like they would be okay. So what is, like, what's wrong with the structure of their offense? Why is it that when he has a ton of time to throw, whether it's created by him or his offensive line, that he's less accurate? Because that's something I can't figure out, man. Like, Tony Romo is actually probably an underrated quarterback, but a big part of that is he's playing behind one of the greatest offensive lines I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a great quarterback and you have time and you make good decisions, when, like, if you're playing behind that offensive line, it's supposed to mean greatness. It's weird that it's had an adverse effect. Do you have any theories? I have some fan theories I want to run by you. Via Twitter, but do you have any theories other than, well, I guess Rodgers' mechanics are bad? Like, is there anything else we can grasp at?
I don't. I wish I did have more theories. I mean, I'm with you. I think he creates some of it. For example, the amazing touchdown throw that he had week one against Jacksonville, and he's got the defender on his jersey, and he just somehow flips the ball from hash mark to number. You know, from left hash mark to right numbers in the end zone to Devontae Adams. And somehow that, you know, is just on the money. He's got Cobb wide open. And he talked about how he knew Cobb was there, but thought he might be able to get one more over the top and held onto the ball a little bit longer. The pressure got there, but he's still able to get rid of the football. We've heard him talk about, you know, and if you subscribe to, you know, NFL Game Pass, you can see from time to time he does that, where he might pass off on something a little bit more underneath to hit those shots up top. But he's just not making or completing those throws to the extent that we're used to seeing. I mean, some of that's drops. I mean, Jordy had uncharacteristic number of drops this past week. I mean, how different do his numbers look if, you know, Davis actually stays on his feet a couple of weeks ago and make the catch on one of the most incredible throws anybody's ever seen, where Rodgers is rolling left and just throws the ball ho-hum 73 yards into the end zone. You know, if that pass is completed. I mean, there are some things that could happen to make this look a little bit better, but it wouldn't look what we've come to expect and come to accustomed to, because he's been missing some throws so bad where you're going, this can't be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, statistics-wise, I get what you're saying. You know, there are some missed opportunities that had they gone a little bit differently, the numbers would look a lot different. However, you know, like you mentioned, Ben Fennell, Andy Benoit, some other guys, once they opened my eyes to the reality of sort of these, I don't know if you want to call them a regression of fundamentals or something, but like once I was enlightened to that,
once
I can't
realize that Aaron Rodgers can be a human, basically.
I can't unsee it. And now I see it everywhere. And like, I felt like it was like two steps forward with the Detroit game, but then another step back against the Giants. And I just see some throws that I just think are uglier than I've seen in the past from him.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that that is dumbfounding me the most is, I mean, because Aaron Rodgers misses throws. I mean, he missed throws from 2008 to 2014. We almost, like, exclusively choose not to remember those throws because they were so few and far between. But he is missing throws at a higher rate than what we've seen. And the ones he's missing, he's not missing by just a little bit. You know, he's missing by a lot from time to time. And that's the part that I think is really confusing a lot of people.
Yeah. So we do a thing on here that, like, usually we just do, like, a big idea to start, and we each have one. So we'll go around the room. Mine, we've basically been touching on it this entire time. It's just that there's this weird disconnect and that there's so many factors that actually play into it. We all want to place blame on one person, but in reality, everybody's a little bit culpable. But just the fact that they have a great offensive line and are still not as productive as you feel like they should be offensively. That's my big idea because it's perplexing, and you could blame Rodgers. I think maybe there's some blame on the receiver, certainly against the Giants. And again, this is all weird. They're 3-1. They just beat the Giants. We barely talked about the game because we're all just like, oh, you know, their offense is, they're doomed, which I don't necessarily feel like. But my big idea is how that just doesn't add up. Usually when you have great offensive line play with a great quarterback, historically great quarterback, that's a good thing. Do you have, like, one central thought that's your big idea so far through four games for this Packers season? We're a quarter of the way through. That's, like, whether it's a question or an answer you feel like you've gained about the 2016 Packers?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that's why McCarthy got a little bit testy today as well, because they did have 400 yards of offense. They are 3-1, and yet all we want to focus on is this passing game. Because the Packers are now, they just don't look like what we're expecting. And really, I think what they're expecting, you know, but they still have to sit up there and answer questions. They're 3-1. They look like they're going in the right direction. The defense has been playing incredibly well. But the one thing, I mean, I guess the biggest thing for me, the reason why that I choose to focus mostly on this offense and Rodgers is because I've become less worried about the defense somehow. Because I think the defense is good enough. Defense is good enough to win a title. However, the defense is only good enough to win a title if the offense is special. You still need, in order to win a title in the a Super Bowl, one side of the football has to be special. You got to be special somewhere. And the Packers' defense, I think, is good. They might be really good, but they're not special enough to carry you to a Super Bowl. They're not last year's Broncos. They're not the 2000 Ravens. They're not the 85 Bears. They're a good unit. And what they've done against the run has been spectacular through 4 weeks, but you still need that offensive side to be special if you want to be able to win a title. And the defense can pick you up from time to time, but the offense is what needs to carry this team. And that's why I'm concerned mostly about the offense, and that's why I guess my big thing is I want Aaron Rodgers to look somewhat like Aaron Rodgers again, and I want it to happen for a full game. I mean, the more and more we keep digging into this, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in the second half of a game this year. That's dumbfounding.
Wait, I didn't even realize that. He's only thrown first and second quarter touchdowns?
I believe so. The source, I guess, from that is Colin Cowherd yesterday, or 2 days ago, is where I heard that one. But
you better go on Twitter. Tell him I said it.
Nice. I'm not, like, disputing that. That's, if he said it, it's probably entirely true. And now that I think of it, I can't necessarily think of a late game touchdown that he's thrown this year.
But well, I kind of want to piggyback off of that, and to use a little corpo jargon there, piggyback off of that idea that one side of the ball needs to be special. And a lot of people have been a lot of Packer fans have been quick to anoint the Packers defense as kind of this elite unit. And Gabe, you really took the words right out of my mouth. They're a really good unit, but they're not special, I don't think, and we need the offense to be better in order for this to be a championship team. And just to sort of shed some light on that, I kind of pulled up some statistics today doing some research on Football Outsiders. The Packers have 40 total defensive drives so far this year. Granted, they had a bye week already, but that is the lowest number of drives on defense of any team, even considering other teams that have already had buys as well. And so I think the significance there is twofold. First, it means that the offense is actually doing an okay job right now of kind of grinding away and keeping the defense off the field. But also, it means that the stats that we have so far represent like a really small sample size. In fact, the small sample size of the defense, the smallest sample size of the defense in the league. And so here are some stats that I think actually don't look great for this defensive unit. For example, 6.38 plays per drive average ranks actually 23rd in the league. 0.2 touchdowns allowed per drive. So that's a 20% chance of the other team scoring a touchdown on any given drive. That ranks 14th, middle of the pack. That's not great. 2.08 points allowed per drive. Average, that ranks 19th. And then 3-minute average time per drive ranks 27th. So everyone wants to talk about total rushing yards and this monster rushing defense and this secondary that is deeper than we thought it was going to be. But I kind of want to like pull out the old hold your horses argument here.
Oh yeah, I'm 100% with you. And some of that I think can be reflected of the injuries they've had in the secondary. In terms of and the offense, when you have that few drives and they have given up some points here and there, that I think that kind of helped explain that. But the defense is good, but it's not great. It's not this historically great unit where they're, out there and creating turnovers. And that's the one thing I'm actually most concerned about with the defense right now is that traditionally great Dom Capers defenses create turnovers at a massive rate, and they haven't been able to do that. Granted, they're without their top two corners this last week, and they've been without their best corners since week one. And I think once Sam Shields returns, that could help with some of that stuff. They've had some opportunities to make interceptions. They just haven't capitalized on it. But yeah, I'm with you. The defense, it's really good, but it's not this special unit.
Yeah, uncharacteristic of a Dom Capers defense. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they're -1 in turnover differential right now.
And that's uncharacteristic of a Dom Capers defense and an Aaron Rodgers offense.
Yeah, totally. It definitely is. So wait, has Quentin Rollins been out since week one? You said their best corner has been out since week one.
Q struggled week one, man. But he played well this last week. He wasn't completely just on an island against OBJ. But I think Q has kind of bounced back nicely after what was kind of a week one disaster.
Well, you're both wrong. Casey Hayward hasn't played for the team all year.
Casey Hayward got beat a few times. I was watching that San Diego game.
That's a little...
God, it must suck to be Phillip Rivers, right? Like, we could complain about being, 3-1, but an offense that hasn't looked like world beaters. Like, oh, we don't have the best offense in the league. This sucks.
When they lost that game on Sunday, there's footage of him on the sideline saying to a receiver, you can see the mouthing of the words, "We're the bad news bears, man."
I saw that. That's amazing.
He's not wrong.
Nope.
I mean, you can't say that if you're the quarterback of the team, but he's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor guy. Anyway, so I think there are some silver linings in this entire thing. I think one is, this was one of the more heartbreaking postseasons for both of us, because we would have had the opportunity to go out west and have an all-expenses-paid trip to the Super Bowl.
But, all right, we're going to talk about that, aren't we?
Well, we're going to talk about 2014, because I think one of the things that made that team really good is they had that defense that you felt like, okay, they're capable of winning a Super Bowl. Granted, they're not going to be the sole reason you do, like you said with the Denver Broncos last year, but they're definitely good enough. I think that is there this year. And while the offensive line may be great at pass protecting, they're pretty good at run blocking as well. So, like, if I have to give you a positive, it's that before Eddie Lacy left the game, he looked impossible to tackle, and their offensive line is also really good at run blocking. So, like,
yeah,
it's cliche, but late in the season, like, they're going to run on people, man. Because that year in Week 17, they ran it down the Lions' throat, who were better run defense than the Seahawks, who they also had some success against in the NFC Championship, and didn't necessarily need Aaron Rodgers to be great to be one, Brandon Bostic or Brad Jones being oblivious on a fake field goal away from going to the Super Bowl. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. I mean, are there things that the Packers can do to help kind of take some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. And I think some of those things weren't necessarily in place last season. But all those things should be back this season, right? Like, we wrote off the last 12 games or the last 11 games, whatever it was, last year, because things were kind of, falling apart for the team. They were playing some really good teams. The speed at wide receiver wasn't necessarily there. Then the injuries at wide receiver really started to stack up, and they just couldn't keep anyone healthy and on the field, and they were able to still somehow make a run. But this year, man, everybody was healthy. Everybody's back. Eddie Lacy's recommitted himself. Everything should look fine. And we've seen flashes of that. We've seen flashes of really good Eddie Lacy. We've seen flashes of Jordy looking good, flashes of Devontae Adams. But it's just the consistency factor right now is not there. The one thing that I will take out of this last week in the Giants game, Randall Cobb looks like Randall Cobb should.
Yeah. Did you find that they might have been scheming him open? Because another silver lining I was going to reference was, like, it feels like they – a big criticism is that they've been very predictable. But they have been a little more multiple the past couple of weeks. I mean, like, four different guys, I think, or five maybe, carry the football in that first drive. And it's not just like, oh, this guy got to carry. But alignment-wise, personnel-wise, they're working Trevor Davis in. We saw Jeff Janis get some looks. Like, they're clearly recognizing, okay, like, we should use our speed. We should use the versatile guys we have, like Timo and Cobb.
Yeah, and everybody but Abby got a snap on that opening 16-play drive. And things aren't looking good for Abby. I don't know if you guys saw a tweet. Apparently, as a reporter left the Packers locker room, couldn't find a locker with Abernathy's nameplate on it.
So wait, what?
Yeah. I think Abby... I mean, that's kind of been the speculation all week, that if Aberderis is the one guy not playing on offense, he may be cut with Pinnell and Goodson coming back.
And McCarthy kind of, like, awkwardly kind of parried questions about Aberderis, it seems like, this week, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just kind of something to keep an eye on. Either I'm guessing we wouldn't get news on Wednesday night, but Thursday at some point. I'm assuming that news might come out. But it just, yeah, it doesn't look good for Abby, which is kind of sad, which is just really weird for me because... Abby being the Wisconsin guy, you know, people naturally think that, you know, everyone's going to attach themselves to Abby, and I think some fans have. But I attached myself to Abby because the quarterback and coach, like, went out of their way to praise him.
Right.
He has yet to find a way onto the field, and now he's not going to be on – I'm assuming he's not going to be on the team. But I guess that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, they went so multiple on that opening drive, but then kind of went away from that. And granted, some of that was the injuries, right? I mean, Ripkowski got hurt, and I'm expecting them to go more two tight ends once Jared Cook becomes healthy and they can go more Rodgers and Cook and kind of mix some things up that way. And I expect them to kind of keep going multiple. And there were, I mean, if you know, guys on Twitter, a lot of people who love doing the All-22 stuff, tweeting out different vines or GIFs or just still shots of the Packers kind of using some combination routes to get guys open. I know Jordy had an underneath crossing route that they used that was kind of making rounds on Twitter earlier this week in that Giants game. So they are starting to use some more of that stuff, and I think that's when they start using that stuff, that goes back to the 19 throws that Rodgers had, getting the ball out of his hands 2.5 seconds. There's still some of the other elements of isolation routes, guys trying to win one-on-one. I don't know if they're just not doing it. If when they do it, Rodgers isn't recognizing it quick enough. I mean, there still are some issues, obviously. I mean, that's, again, it just kind of goes back to the point I was making before about consistency. Right now, the consistency is just not there, and that's what made this offense great.
Yeah, and it all goes into, like, why it's kind of perplexing, because you could say that they're predictable and that they're kind of stale, but then, like, every now and then Mike McCarthy gives you a game or at least a series like you saw the other night, or a game like you saw against the Patriots when he had Bill Belichick praising him, not because he was asked about him and he was throwing out generic praise like he does every week with every player he plays against or coaches against, but because he actually outcoached one of the more brilliant minds in the game. So let's get to a couple more theories and we can dispel these really quick. We got them on Twitter. Again, you can follow Gabe Neitzel, at GNeitzel16. He's the afternoon drive host along with Steve the Homer True at ESPN Wisconsin. But on Twitter, here's a couple of things. Ian Kenyon chimed in, of Bleacher Report. He says he thinks that McCarthy and Rodgers have become complacent, no creativity, just think they could go out there and win an 11 personnel all game. They have been running an almost unusual amount of 11 personnel. I've seen that criticism from a lot of smart football people, to which our friend Kelly weighed in. Emphasis on McCarthy complacency. We can all correctly predict an entire series of offensive plays. And I thought that was funny because I feel like all of us can, like...
You can't.
Okay, but you can predict a couple, though. Like, you have to, Gabe, find yourself at least two or three times a game just when they line up being, like, just saying out loud, like, being, like, cocky, like, know-it-all, like... Here comes this, and they actually do it. Like, that happens all the time.
I mean, you could do that with just about anybody, right?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think you could just realize that Janis is in the game and be like, here comes that play-action shot play where Jordy lines up on outside of the numbers on the left side, and his route finishes on the right hash. And did you know the play I'm talking about? The play-action shot play. They ran it with Janis and Jordy, And their routes like ran into each other to the point where there were three defenders at the catch point because of how predictable that play is.
Well, I blame Janice for that. But, okay.
Just blame Janice. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why not? You know what my favorite part is about the Packers become too predictable guy? They're probably the same guy that, oh, man, you know, back in Lombardi days, all they needed was eight plays. That's all you needed. And they just executed those plays flawlessly, right? They're Herman Boone from Remember the Titans. We run six plays, and we just run those plays perfectly, right? It all comes down, it's always execution. I don't care if you can predict the play. If you still execute it right, like somebody, the play should still work in theory.
You could say the same thing about the Holmgren Packers, too, when they were at their best.
Well, I thought that was the beauty of West Coast timing routes, right? Was the simplicity. But now it's a problem. So, I mean.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing.
Packers fans just got to find a scab and pick it, man. That's our MO.
I don't know how much Mike Holmgren, like, West Coast principles actually exist inside this offense anymore. Are there some elements? Yeah, but is this a true West Coast offense? I'd say no.
Okay. I mean, is that because like he had 29 attempts of over 2.5 seconds and 19 attempts the other night under 2.5 seconds? Because those under 2.5 seconds probably resemble a lot of West Coast.
Yeah, no, and it does. But I mean, the West Coast offense. Again, I'm just a novice at this point. I don't have intense and extensive knowledge of it. But the Packers run too many isolation routes. Like the West Coast offense, you kind of build off of each other. And they run way too many isolation routes, and they kind of get away from those West Coast principles in order to go to those ISO routes that they like to run, where you're winning one-on-one matchups and you're trying to figure out how to win that way.
Yeah. Here's a mind-bender. The only guy winning those routes, Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I know, right?
Freaking weird,
man. And Randall wins. And Jordy hasn't been winning a ton of routes this year because he's not 100%.
Right. Yeah.
I think every time I see Devontae Adams do something really nice on the football field, I tweet out, but we should cut him, right?
Well, there was a point. How bizarre a world is this? As Jared Aberderis wanders around the Packers locker room looking for 84 on any of the lockers, like, please God, there's any of those. There was a period of time where we thought he might be the three receiver over Devontae Adams. And now Devontae Adams is the only guy who looks like he could actually beat a corner one-on-one.
Now Abby's wandering around the locker room like a toddler at the mall missing his parents.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because he's had 1,000 concussions or because there actually isn't a locker.
Come on now.
Bless his soul. We wish him the best. And as of right now, as we record this, he has not been cut. A couple other fan theories. Our buddy Andre says it's actually really simple. Need more people's champ. Need more savior. Need more great white. Need more chosen one. Need more Janice. That's our Jeff Janice sounder.
You guys have a Janice sounder? That's incredible.
Yeah. We have a what sounder? You mean a Janice sounder? A couple other theories. Ty, I think pretty well reasoned. They run way too many ISO routes. Can't win those routes constantly or consistently enough in 2016 with the different defenses that you face. That's kind of what you were saying. Zach wants to see the easy completion. There's no more run-pass option that there used to be with Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson with automatic 10 yards, either back shoulder or a little hitch route, which also...
Well, that's really gone away, right? Yeah. The back shoulder has pretty much become extinct. When was the last time you saw a back shoulder connection with anyone? I remember him throwing one against the Vikings to Jordy, and Jordy kept running up the field. That's always feeling, right? You see that ball just go sailing, and Jordy's still going, you're going, oh, crap.
Like, where is that gone? It's like a marriage that just lost all of its luster, this Rodgers to Nelson thing. Like, it's just like...
all the shoulders gone.
Yeah, seriously. Like, there was a period of time where Jordy Nelson was catching back shoulder throws on his back, like rolling into the end zone. I feel like that was like 2011.
Remember? Oh.
We're doomed. This team sucks. You're right. Oh. I'm kidding.
They are 3-1, which is weird to talk about them in this light. But man, I mean, there are so many like things that used to just give you that I don't know, that John Gruden like enthusiasm.
This guy right here.
That's I was gonna say football boner, which I just said anyway. But that's basically what John Gruden.
Look at this guy on a dig route here. Look what he's doing.
Let me tell you about a guy like Jordy Nelson, man. When Jordy Nelson,
really good.
Yeah, you think so? You think I could do fake Gruden?
It's not bad, man.
I got it.
Yeah, your McCarthy is legendary.
Well, you know, you talk about a guy like Gabe Neitzel, and, Gabe's good with the fundamentals. He's really taking that second-year leap.
He's a grinder.
Alongside a homer.
Anyway, we're not going to belabor that point. All right. So they get ready to face the Cowboys. What's cool about that is the Packers' run defense is fucking awesome, and the Cowboys' run game is really bleeping awesome as well. What gives? You got any predictions? Come on, have a take, Gabe. All takes matter.
I have a two-beer bet because that's Homer's favorite thing to do on the show recently.
Two-beer bet.
Alliterative. Yeah. I like it.
Two-beer bet with Homer on the Packers holding the Cowboys to less than 100 yards rushing.
Ooh, Ezekiel Elliott, one of, I think, three, maybe four guys ever in his rookie year to rush for over 130 in three straight games. And you think he's not getting over 100 on Sunday?
I think he's going to get over 100.
He is getting over 100?
No. I've got him under.
Okay, and Homer's got him over.
Homer's got him over. And I understand that this group and the numbers that they put up have been ridiculous, and they haven't really been tested. But the one thing that, you've seen really bad offensive lines. And we've seen really bad football. Just turn on the football, just turn on the television tomorrow night. You'll see some real bad football.
What's the game Thursday night?
I'm just assuming it's terrible.
I think it is.
It's Riverside High versus, I don't know.
But what has been the most impressive thing to me is I have, in an NFL game, I have not seen as many times as the Packers have done this year. You rarely see it where one guy's in position to make a TFL, misses it, and then there's another guy right there to make a tap. So it's disappointing because it could have been a 5-yard loss, but it still ends up being a 1-yard loss.
Right.
Way they have been able to, get guys. It's not just one guy beating an offensive line. It's the entire group. That entire front seven has been so good. And again, they haven't been tested by a top-tier running back. They haven't been tested by a top-tier offensive line like they will be on Sunday. But I really just don't think that I really think that teams are going to struggle to run against them, even if they are the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, they really flock to the football. They get a lot of hats on the ball, for sure.
Sharks in the water, like my high school coach used to say. It's true, though. There's
did you go to high school in Alabama? What was that?
All my high school coaches went to Auburn and played there. But we see a lot of Mike Daniels driving his guard into the backfield and the running back basically at the mesh point being like, okay, I'm going to sidestep.
Like a tackling dummy.
And then Clinton Dix is already there because the running back has stopped his feet. And their safeties are ridiculously good in run support, which is a huge part of it. I mean, how many times do you see guys with, the first number, the first digit in their number being a 2 or a 3 in the backfield? It's really awesome.
Yeah, that's been the most fun thing to watch because it's been the thing that they've been best at and most consistent at all season long. And that's why I really think it's going to force Dak Prescott to somehow beat them.
So despite your beer bet, what do you got a score prediction? What's your outcome?
I still see the Packers. I'm going to pick the Packers to win the game. I haven't really decided on a score yet at this point. I mean, there's still a lot of things out there because we got to wait to see. I mean, is Eddie Lacy going to be completely healthy? James Starks, a surprise member on the do not and did not participate list. Not even just limited participant, did not participate list for the Packers today.
That's there's no concerning. One left.
Yeah, right? There's
Rifkowski. Get ready for
Rip. Yeah. Rip.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Demo. Demo's the fullback. Randall Cobb's the halfback. We'll run some offensive plays like that.
Oof, that's not a very tasty recipe.
Well, I did hear that you don't want him playing receiver for your team, so you might want him playing running back.
That's the rumor I heard, too.
I also heard Jim Kelly's daughter's hot.
That was a great night.
Inside baseball.
Man, so hey, much inside baseball.
What a wild night.
Swing and a miss.
we're just going to get this so inside that there's going to be like one person listening to the podcast left that understands what Alex and I are talking about.
Ron and the Key, thanks for sticking with us all the way into this.
It's like the worst version of being John Malkovich, you can imagine.
And they are going to love it and think it's hilarious.
So
we'll see about that.
I heard my friend said it's 4.5. So are you picking the Packers to cover since you won't give us a score? Will you at least give us like a pick against the spread?
I will take the Packers by a touchdown.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So you like the Packers to cover?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that sounds good. Hey, we really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you in the next couple of weeks picking me up from the airport at 8 a.m. when I land at General Mitchell.
Stay on the phone, and we'll get your info and send you a T-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. However that works in terrestrial radio.
You guys have T-shirts? It's great.
Oh, yeah.
Glad you had T-shirts.
We should make them.
Yeah, I'll just write APZ Podcast on a T-shirt with Sharpie and send it to you.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
And proudly wear it around the office.
What did we? Nice. Just like I proudly wear my ESPN Milwaukee hat still.
As long as you promise to tweet that out and tag us in it.
Yeah, no, if I get a T-shirt, man, I will tweet it out. I will tag whomever you'd like.
Done, done.
Nice.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
Later, dude. Big thanks to Gabe Neitzel at gneitzel16 on the Twitter for joining us. ESPNWisconsin.com. You can find all the podcasts from their show there. You can subscribe to our podcast, Acme Podcasting Co. on iTunes is where you can search. You can follow us on Twitter at Alex Patakis, at Outside Slant, at Ben Foldy. Ben was not here today. I think he'll be back next week.
Wearing a shirt or not. We don't know. We'll see.
Doesn't matter. So really quickly here, we'll get to the game. First off, our pick standings for the year. We pick every game of the NFL season at Acme Pad. Why do I keep doing that? Acme Podcasting Company. Woo.com.
Acme Packing Company.
Zach, you're in first place.
You said Acme Podcasting Company.
Oh, yeah. It is Acme Packing Company. Woo! I'm on fire, man. Zach is in first place among the podcasting group at 43 and 34 in the year. Nice shot by you.
Hey-o.
Ooh.
I'm feel winning.
Like, yep.
Breaking news, I'm winning.
Ben is in second at 41 and 36. I'm barely above 500. 40 and 37 on the year picking games in the NFL. And that's not even against the spread. It's just picking winners. Leader of everyone at APC is at 50 and 27. You're going to have to cut that. I don't remember who it is. Write it down. What a terrible job. Sorry.
Sorry, anonymous APC writer.
Yeah. Oh, Chris. Chris.
Damn it.
What a K.
Chris.
All right, so let's predict the game. Not that you should listen to me. I'm second to last.
What do you got?
Packers are 4.5-point favorites right now. I, like Gabe, like them to cover that number. And I'm going to go ahead and pick Green Bay, and I'm picking them 27-17 over the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm taking the under on 100 yards for Ezekiel Elliott because I got faith in the Packers' run defense.
Well, I'm not a betting man, but I am also taking the Packers. I'm going to go 30-24.
Nice. Close game. Should be another fun one. Primetime matchup. You get Troy Aikman in there, but you don't get Joe Buck, which makes a lot of Packers fans
happy.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. Again, thanks to Gabe, and we'll catch you next week. Acme Podcasting Company on iTunes.
We're fired.
AcmePackingCompany.com. Subscribe. We'll be better. I promise.
And rate us on iTunes. Bye now.